again.
So Vin Diesel, the only reason why he did Fast and the Furious was because of he wanted to do another Riddick movie. Because Universal said, no, the last Riddick movie bombed and cost us like $100 million.
Yeah, but you got Fast and Furious, and now I got Riddick again. I want to do both. And
they said, fine, shut up. Don't do your fucking Riddick movie. And that's basically what happens. And now, since the Fast and Furious movies are pretty much done, this is it for Vin. This is like his last gasp. This is going to be his last attempt at like trying to get another franchise out of something. And I don't think anyone's going to care because these movies never do that big. And they're okay.
You know what the sad thing is people say the same thing about Sly Stallone. But yes. What they forget is that he's actually a smart person and can actually do the things he does. Vin Diesel can't do anything.
Vin Diesel was selling Street Sharks at a toy fair.
What they said about Sly Stallone for his entire career, like he's done after that. No, he keeps reinventing things and that man is a fucking hustler.
Oh yeah.
Vin Diesel is fucking nothing. The man is a blank slate of a person. He can't, because if he was smart enough, he would know, here's how I can turn this into this. Like you said, he doesn't want to do a TV show for Riddick. And I'm like, if he was smart, he would.
Well, I think he can do it the right way. That. I think he feels he's above that, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, if he was smart, he would know that this is the next step and maybe I can turn this into something else.
Yeah.
You want to keep working more than you want to be in the theater because nobody gives a fuck about the theater anymore.
No, nope, that's all done.
His biggest movies are ones where he goes, I am Groot, and that's all he says.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't get the Vin Diesel thing. I don't understand.
Oh, I never did. Yeah, I just like the fact that the last thing he wanted to do was Fast and Furious, and that's all he's going to be remembered for is Fast and Furious.
Yep.
And that's got to be. I mean, that's the irony of everything.
Yeah.
The irony of life is, you know, the most successful thing he hates the most successful thing he's known for, like Captain Kirk, like William Shatner. He hates the fact that he's Captain Kirk, but that's it. But then as he's gotten older, he's just like, yeah, fine, I'm Kirk, whatever. Just give me my money. I don't care.
He did make his peace with it.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
Everyone else he worked with except George Takei is dead.
And George Takei hates him, and he hates George Takei. And just like, fuck that. Fuck that bastard.
Yeah.
Banzai!
I don't want to play that.
I'll throw you out a window.
Yeah, exactly. Sly is fire and toast. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's supposed to be good. Yeah.
I've seen episodes of that. My mother-in-law's watching it. A few episodes, and I'm like, God, he's good in this.
No,
well, he's a good show, and that's what I'm saying. That's a perfect example of Sly smart enough to go, yes, TV is a good medium now.
Right. Yeah, I'll get paid.
And fucking Vin Diesel will never figure that out.
Yeah.
But ever since Rocky came out, everyone's like, oh, he's a big dumb, you know, machismo guy. Yeah. He's not going to do it. And then, oh, Rambo came out. Oh, that's a whole thing now. And then that's not working. And then he, you know, Expendables eventually. And he just keeps coming up with these things. He's a smart guy. Yeah. And people keep writing him off. But Vin Diesel's like writing this franchise for 10 movies now. And then what the hell else is he going to do? And his other franchise is Riddick. And I don't give a shit about it. But
nobody cares about Riddick.
And then the other one, he says three words in. So, like, what the fuck? Fuck Vin Diesel.
That's all done, because James Gunn is over at DC.
It would be fine if Vin Diesel was a really nice guy. And you're like, oh, he's fine. Right. Like, whatever. Let him do other. But he seems like a dick by all accounts. And it just, I don't, understand it.
The whole Rock thing, I guess, was all real.
They're both kind of dicks in that, though.
Yeah, well, that's just the machismo factor.
Yeah. Neither one of us can lose fights. You have
two Arnold Schwarzeneggers. Yeah. Well, back in the day, like when Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly Stallone were competitors, they used to do that shit.
Yeah.
Shit, Sly Stallone made up the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger's dad was a Nazi. Yeah. That's pretty fucked up. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean,
his dad was a Nazi. I don't know.
But that was when it was fun, and like, I don't know shit about Vin Diesel other than he's not a good actor.
Yeah, he's okay. He's not terrible. He's not good now. But you know what? Watch Find Me Guilty. He's actually not bad in that.
I keep hearing that. Saving Private Ryan, he's good in.
Yeah. Yeah, Saving Private Ryan. He was fine in Boiler Room. Like, there's things that he's good in. But I think the problem is he became that character.
Yes,
and he's a badass.
And Sly Stallone doesn't have a lot of range, but he knows how to do what he can do in that limited range. And Vin Diesel apparently has no fucking idea.
No, because you know, so wrote all his own stuff too. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. He's a smart guy.
He wasn't dumb. Yeah.
You watch Rocky Balboa. He is fucking phenomenal as an actor in Rocky Balboa, and you forget the fact that he directed and wrote that movie.
It's just too bad he didn't have the rights to it. That's what fucked him up in the end. He's all upset about that.
Because, he could have made a bunch of money off me because I saw it like six times in the theater.
Creed 3, they totally cut him out, and he's just like, he had a falling out with the producer and everything, so he's missing out. I guess Creed 3 was supposed to be pretty good. I didn't watch it, though. I'm slow to the punch with Creed movies. I saw the first one in theaters, and I didn't see the second one until like 10 years after it came out.
I saw the first one in theaters. Yes.
Yeah.
Same what thing. You just said, copy-paste. Because I saw 2 when Adam died, and I got his Blu-rays, and I was like, fuck it, I guess I'll watch Creed 2. And I put it on, and I'm like, this is the most forgettable thing I've ever seen in my life.
It wasn't terrible, but it was fine.
But, like, are you going to remember anything about Creed 2?
I get him confused with Creed 1.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's got Tessa Thompson and couldn't keep my attention. That tells you something.
Yeah, well, she's deaf. You know, she's damaged goods in that movie.
I'm not going to fuck her ears. What do I care?
She can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. We're doing Twilight Zone. This is a Twilight Zone show.
Tessa Thompson. She's not deaf in real life.
No. I assume based on the escalation of her hearing, she's got to be completely deaf in the third one, right?
I don't know. I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
This is going to be him doing sign language.
No, because they have a daughter. The daughter's deaf, right? Isn't that what happened?
How does that happen?
Because she has the it's related because she has that degenerative disease.
Yes, degenerative.
What was it called when you get it? Meningitis?
No.
Meningitis makes you deaf? If you're a kid, you get meningitis, that kind of thing?
No, meningitis fucking kills you.
I'm deaf because I have meningitis.
No, she had, God damn it, what is that?
I don't know.
The ears ringing one. The tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
Is that
tennis elbow tinnitus?
No. I don't know, but I do know the fact that her mom went deaf slowly throughout her life and lost her hearing at 30, 40, somewhere in there, like she says. Mm. And then same things happened to Tessa Thompson. Why the fuck would she give birth to a completely deaf girl?
Because she's whatever. Fucking broken goods.
Too much Taika Waititi up in there.
Just damaged goods. So I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes,
I Dream of Jeannie. This is an hour episode.
Oh, we need to do an intro.
This is the fourth season episode, which means it's 50 minutes. I was like, oh, fuck.
I want to play an intro because we're 7.5 minutes in, and it'll amuse me to do it this far into the podcast.
Do it.
This is a classic episode, so let's play a classic one. It's about a genie. Let's do... I don't know.
Enclose the...
Wait.
You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter the scary door.
Bordering in Wonderland, the Twilight Zone review.
There's a gremlin destroying the plane! You've got to believe me!
Why should I believe you? You're Hitler!
No!
Box for a most discriminating gentleman. Thank you, sir. And I trust that you will allow me to serve you again when it comes time for the, engagement present.
Meet Mr. George P. Hanley, a man life treats without deference, honor, or success. Waiters serve his soup cold, elevator operators close doors in his face. Mothers never bother to wait up for the daughters he dates. George is a creature of humble habits and tame dreams. He's an ordinary man, Mr. Hanley.
Another one of those Rod Serling insult episodes or intros where it's just, this sack of shit wouldn't even scare you if he was fucking your daughter in front of you. Because you know he doesn't carry sperm that work.
You know he's got a little dick. He's useless.
He's not going to get her pregnant.
He's as worthless as a filter on a cigarette.
She might as well be scissoring with her best friend, Susie.
But at this moment, the accidental possessor of a very special gift. The kind of gift that measures men against their dreams. The kind of gift most of us might ask for first and possibly regret to the last. If we, like Mr. George P. Hanley, were about to plunge headfirst and unaware into our own personal Twilight Zone.
Da-na-na-na. Hello, citizens. Welcome to LIW, the Twilight Zone Review, Ear of the Beholder, episode 468, TZ59 412, I Dream of Genie Redux, Phoenix West.
Dick, that's the second time he said personal Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
He said that, Mr. Beavis, so there's the connection right there.
I mean, there's already a connection, but yeah.
Well, what was the connection? It's not genies.
Genies, pretty much.
Yeah, guardian angel genie, yeah, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, but this one, it's I Dream of Genie, so he's just thinking of the scenario. He doesn't even make a wish. He's just thinking of the scenarios, and he never rubs the lamp. He doesn't do anything.
But it is because it's an hour.
Right, well, because he goes through all the wishes one at a time.
Yes, and
thinking of the outcome of each one.
Okay, first time, right? Season four episode, I assume, is first time. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's another season 4 one you can check off your list here that you, out of the 18.
Never have to watch ever again.
Yes. I appreciate the fact that he goes through them one at a time and gets it out of the way because it makes the episode flow because it's different little quick scenarios.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not trying to say it harms it. It's just that's what this episode does.
No, this is me trying to compliment the episode in some way that I can.
And he's really self-destructive because every scenario he puts himself in ends horribly.
It starts off well.
And he does it to himself.
Yes. The genie shows up like a frat bro in the back of his couch like, what's up, man? Anyway, you get one wish because we used to give him 3 and we said, fuck that back in the day because this is too many and people fucked it up. But anyway, you're going to have 1. I'll check back in tomorrow. Bye. Boop. And pisses off back in the lamp.
What is he? Brad Pitt from True Romance?
Yes. He showed up here, and he was like, I'm going to do that. And then
fuck
he did
you,
it.
Fuck you, condescending me. I'll fucking kill you.
He doesn't get off the couch. You're not far off because he doesn't leave the couch his entire
there you go. Hey, opening. Quentin Tarantino loved this show, too. I think that's right where Floyd came from. I want to do that genie character in my drug movie.
Brad Pitt with a bong.
Yeah.
To sit
what
there,
else is new?
Talk to Gary Oldman with his crazy eye.
It's white boy dead. Look up. White boy dead.
I don't need the pussy, man.
I just watched someone's first review, like a first reaction video. This woman watching it, and she was just not. She wanted nothing to do with the movie. It was not her cup of tea.
Did she do zero research ahead of time?
I think so. She goes, I know it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's written by him. I've only liked half of his movies. Well, you're in for a treat.
I liked all the Nazi scenes of Inglourious Basterds.
I love the slave movie.
Yeah, the slave ownership scenes in the beginning of Django.
Yeah.
I really love the scenes where they're derogatory towards Samuel Jackson in all his movies, really, that he did. But beyond that, I just don't get him. DiCaprio's character really spoke to me, though, in Django.
My favorite movie is The Birth of a Nation.
Yes. D.W. Griffith did for cinema what D.W. Griffith did for the Klan.
Yes.
Anyway, it's an episode that, even though it's season 4, I don't hate it.
Yeah, it was perfectly fine. It was serviceable. It's fine. Like this episode, it's fine. I like the ending though, because basically he goes through all the scenarios. He kind of just comes to the conclusion, this could be a job I could handle for the next 2,000 years. I don't care. And he becomes the genie basically. Sorry, spoiler alert.
No, it's definitely a spoiler, but
it's the spoiler. He ends up being the genie at the end. At first, I was like, oh wait, is that him? Oh, it is him. Okay, because you know, and this guy's a character actor who's been a bunch of stuff too. This actor. And is this where they got the name I Dream of Genie for the TV show?
Yes.
Or was the same time? Or just I think Dream of Genie was in the 60s, right? Or
I think early, I think Dream 60s? Of Genie is like 62, and this episode is 63. So.
Oh, okay. So it's probably.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious now.
I Dream of Genie is like an old poem, though.
Oh, is it? Okay.
65 is the TV show.
Okay, and this episode was, 66?
I think that was like an old saying based on a poem or a story. I Dream of Jeannie.
Probably right.
Like those old-timey phrases. And now we just associate it with the show.
Just like Come on My Pillow is that country porn song.
They just spelled it differently to have the character's name, which is kind of cool for the show. Yeah. I watched that show growing up. I like that show. It's stupid as shit, but I like it.
Yes.
All of the shows of the 60s were like, what if we did a weird sci-fi story but treated it like it was everyday life?
Right, right, right. And we put a hot chick in it.
Yeah. And then, but I think in this episode, oh, sorry, I'm looking at a couple things here. I keep getting this one confused the whole time with, and I turn it on and I'm like, fuck, here we go. I keep thinking it's the Carol Burnett season 2 episode.
Right.
Cavender is Coming, season 3, sorry. 336,
which is
Cavender
is Coming,
which fucking sucks.
Funniest mirror crash sequence ever.
Yes.
Though.
I have it here, but it's at the end of this long clip and I won't play it.
It's fine. It's in my memory.
Was it Rachel or Rochelle?
Rochelle,
okay. I assumed as much, but again, I've been drinking. So I'll be polite.
What's your name?
Now, Rochelle, LIWstudios.com. On there, we got the live episode. Was it live? What's it titled? It's my own fucking website.
LIW.
No, but what's the link called? Live episode recording schedule. And you can go on there and click. And you'll
see it's on
YouTube, episodes.
Isn't it? You watch it through YouTube.
No, she's asking specifically, do you tell us what upcoming episodes so we can watch them prior?
Oh,
live episode, you can see which ones we're going to do.
Right. I just got that.
Yeah. And that was Adam's idea.
It took
us that long to figure that out. We should probably let people know what we're doing ahead of time, shouldn't we?
Surprise them.
I don't know.
Because we don't even, it's not like we talk about the episode that much.
Well, I didn't think about it early on because it was just in order of the Twilight Zone. And then once I hit random, it was right when Adam joined. So coincidentally, he's like, yeah. So anyway,
But you're going to surprise me with another country porn song.
Do you want to do it now?
Yeah.
Chinga Chavin. This one's called Humpin' in the Back of a 55 Ford.
Fantastic.
And this was the first one they played in the Jinx. That got me excited.
Wow. I'm humpin' in the back of a 55 Ford.
Come in, Tom.
Nope.
You know, this one was written a long time ago, back when men were men and sheep were nervous.
What?
I'll tell you that for real.
He's good.
You know. All right. This is how it starts off. They start playing this song before you know anything about what the fuck you're watching or hearing. So you're like, oh, this is, all right, old 70s jam. And then it's like, humping in the back. It's like, what the fuck is it? And it's like, yeah, and he starts off, his first line is, all I wanted to do was be really famous. And then he's like, I started country porn. He goes into this, he's an old man because he's 70 something now. You hear this.
Hilarious.
Oh, and by the way, all the pictures of him back then during these songs and live shows covered in naked ladies on stage. The man was,
Well, I remember El Paso town when none of the white chicks ever got down. The choice was a drive-in or some Juarez whore. So let's roll on out to the drive-in theater. And if you don't know her, you can meet her dry humping in the back. The pants are stained from dry humping in the back of a 55 Ford.
Right, I love the lyrics.
That's a precursor to Rob Zombie's Everybody's Fucking a UFO.
Yeah, my ankles are shot.
Oh, man. He's good.
And that's why I wanted to play them for you. I thought you'd appreciate
it's
that.
Great. Oh, man, I'm glad. Every day is a new adventure.
You know? No, I will say this about the first season real quick. It's the best documentary I've ever seen in my life. It's only 6 episodes on HBO. But it starts off like, yeah, it's okay. And then you realize what's happening, like episode 4 through 6. Mind blown, Dick. You got to watch.
Is this the one where the guy admits on the documentary that he murdered everybody? This is the one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard about it. But when I watched it first time, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Okay. And I'm like, because he catches himself the first time where he's like, shouldn't have said that. And he's practicing, like, sounding sincere. And his lawyer comes up and he goes, you know, we can hear you. You gotta stop doing that, man. He's like, I'm just practicing. Like, yes, I know you're practicing. Stop doing that.
Give me a recording, you idiot.
Yes. That's what he says, but in calm lawyer voice. And then it pays off so much later because they catch him with irrefutable evidence. And he's looking at it and he keeps going like, I mean, that handwriting looks, that looks a lot like mine. But and then he goes off into the other room after the interview's over. And he goes, well, you're caught. nothing you can do there. I mean, they know you killed him. And my favorite line, he goes, and the burping, man. The burping. he's like, guilt burps. It was fucking hilarious. And it is perfect.
It wasn't season 2 about the trial.
Season 2 is the trial, and he's already in prison. And yes. Yeah. And that's when they introduce this guy. And he comes in and he's like, he's friends with them and he got him a job. They're friends for decades.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm starting to think back on conversations we had and I didn't want anything to do with this, but I had to come forward.
I need to sell more records of my country porn album now.
Yeah. Because the woman he killed, he got accused of killing and arrested for, the you knew you killed him part, is that guy's best friend who helped get him started with this band.
Wow.
It's all tied in, and goddamn, it's hilarious watching this entire episode. But it's not terrible like Tiger King. Tiger King is fucking terrible.
Well, Tiger King was the COVID.
Yeah.
Everyone was trapped at home.
But it's not good.
But it was sensationalized. It was a joke. It was like Jerry Springer. It was trash. It was just junk. And that's why they tried to bring it back. It never worked out. They tried to make it a real movie with Matthew McConaughey, and it didn't happen either.
No. And Nick Cage was attached originally, remember?
Right, Nick Cage was attached for...
That would have been perfect, but no. Netflix dropped the fucking ball there.
Yeah, well, they got cold feet because, you know, we can't keep doing this.
But
we're dirty enough.
The point is, I think you should watch it, Dick, even though you know it's going to happen.
Oh, I told my wife,
and even she was, like, having a ball in that last episode because it gets incredible.
Right.
Where you're like, because you're like, how are you this fucking arrogant? The guy's a sack of shit. And he's clearly. And
also, it's based on that movie, or two movies, like a Michael Douglas movie and a Ryan Gosling movie. It's based on this guy.
The Ryan Gosling movie was made by the guy, Jalecki, who made this documentary.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
And the whole reason he got caught, the killer, was because. He saw that movie and he calls Jalecki and goes, I want to sit down with you and set the record straight. And he's like, all right, yeah, come on. Let's do this. And he started the snowball that is the documentary that got himself caught.
So basically he fucked himself.
Yes, and that's what makes it so fucking fascinating. That's why I say you should watch it.
It's funny.
Because everything is entirely his fault. Because he got caught back in 2000 cutting up a body and admitted to it to get off the murder. And he never got caught for cutting up a body, and like never served his date. And it's like, how the fuck? It's a fascinating story.
Amazing.
But yes, it's hands down the best documentary I've ever seen. It's only 6 episodes.
Our justice system at work. Thank
yes.
you guys.
Good old Louisiana.
You're fantastic.
Even though the governor of Louisiana, I believe at that time was they don't mention this documentary, but just secondhand knowledge. Wasn't that who's that singer, Junior? The white dude, the handsome guy?
Hank Williams Jr.
No, not Hank Williams. The
Harry
Connick Jr. His dad was like DA or governor or something of Louisiana, and he had like a little electrocutioner's chair on his desk.
Right, yeah.
And half of those guys were later found innocent.
Yes.
But he's still fuck these guys. I killed them. It's like, yeah, but later we found out they were not guilty, you sick fuck.
I didn't do that. That was the jury.
Now let me go mouth kiss my son.
I love you, Harry Connick Jr.
God, they're weird.
He does have a wonderful Christmas album.
He does. I have nothing against Harry Connick Jr., but his dad is a fucking psychopath.
And he's great in Copycat. That's a great movie.
He's a good actor. I like him. He's
Give me your squirrel covers. Yeah. What? Your panties. I want a pair of your panties. He's great in Copycat.
Anyway, I dream of Jeannie.
I wish you could do movies like that.
I dream of Jeannie.
Yes.
It's a shy guy working at an office. Again, who knows what they do? They do office job.
Office stuff.
Yeah. Office. Same exact set, looks like. Just minimized. Tip, clicky clacky, clicky clacky. I do my work. You're going to get the promotion. Why would you? Clicky clacky. Click. And then they got the Playboy dude.
Right.
Macking on his work whore.
Why would they give the promotion to him?
She gets presents by everybody and then she like kisses that guy.
Are they going out? Is that what's...
No, this seems like she's a work whore.
She gets around, you know?
Yeah. It reminded me of the episode, the rape episode, where he gets the potion.
Yes.
And then rapes the woman.
And then basically wants to kill her, and he decides not to kill her because they feel guilty about it.
Yes. He wanted to kill the pregnant lady.
Yes.
That he raped a baby into.
It's a very dark... But with like, it's supposed to be a comedy episode, and it's like the darkest thing you'll ever watch.
Yeah, it's when you think of the reality of the girl is an unwilling participant in both the sex and the baby. So he raped a baby into her. Is how the only way I can see that episode. Because he drugged her. He date raped her, and then she got pregnant, and then he wanted to kill her.
You know, I think it's ironic. I just noticed your shirt. You're in a Beetlejuice shirt. And you can't accept the fact that the sequel's coming out in October.
Do you know what's funny is when I saw this shirt at the store, I bought it for this exact reason.
I just realized you're wearing a Beetlejuice shirt.
I was kind of hoping you would realize during the Hollywood is Dead. Because that's when we usually bring up Beetlejuice.
Right, yeah. I just but, it right now. I was like, wait a minute.
All right, you caught it ahead of time. That sucks.
Oh, well. I can save it for the next
Yeah, well, I still want to bring up Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
Anyway, let's blast through this because I don't want to talk about this anymore.
It's basically it's an hour episode where he goes through the scenarios of all his wishes, and he decides to become the genie at the end of the day because he figured life isn't worth living, so he'll be a servant to people for the next 5,000 years.
Scenario one is what I call Star 80.
Yes.
Oh, I'm
yes.
too.
He's a pimp.
Is this not Star 80?
A little bit.
I was like, please kill her at the end. But no, and then Fantasy 2 is what I called...
The rich man.
Oh.
The rich man, poor man, or he buys everything.
Yeah, episode 2, or Fantasy 2, is the only thing I could think to say about it is, do they not know in the 60s a number above a million?
Yes.
Because, okay. He goes, I could wish for a million, but I give 90% in taxes. That'll put you in the 90% bracket. And I go, then wish for more. Do you know the more you wish for with taxes, it only goes to 90%. That's the highest one. The more you wish for, the more you get to keep after that.
How about
wish for more, you sack of shit.
Five million?
Do they not have the word a billion back then?
No.
Was that like a quadrillion, zillion, billion, fillion? Was that like
There's
a
no
fantasy
way.
Word?
$1 billion? That's crazy talk.
You could buy the world three times over.
And sell
or as we know that now, one Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
$1 zillion.
Jeff Bezos can ruin Lord of the Rings with $1 billion.
Yeah, it's we have not one, but several, so many billionaires now.
Yep.
And even with inflation, I think it was just lazy writing. Like, I could wish for a million, but then wish for more. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like they couldn't fathom a number above a million. Even though you see that guy's number and it says 26 million in his account.
I don't want to be spoiled here.
Oh, we're still in this episode.
Pimp. He's a pimp. Why is he dressed like a pimp?
here's the pimp one.
Hey, he's just like a real pimp here.
I love it. He's like, take my dog, get her groomed, and then I guess walk her around a couple times. Fuck you, bye.
I thought this was fun.
Yes.
Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Come on, boy.
Big fucking dog.
I love that he has a very, like, a random dog in every segment. You notice that? They're all different.
Yeah. different personalities, different man's best friends.
Yeah. And this is Miss Grumley from the previous episode.
Yeah, all the characters are the same, which is kind of funny. They're all, it's fun.
It's an okay episode.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's not offensive. Yeah. This is the exact setting of the end scene of
Time Cop.
I can't think of the name of the episode, but the guy brings, he's rich and he brings everyone into the bunker and he fakes an emergency and they all leave him one at a time.
Oh.
And he comes out and he goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's the same exact exterior.
That same set.
It's probably like outside one of their offices or outside one of the sets or something.
It's got to be the Universal or Warner Bros. Back lot.
Yeah. It's just one of the, it's the exact same set. Only over here on screen, there's a pond that he climbs in. The end of the world! And I'm like, oh, he lost his marbles.
He lost his marbles.
Yeah, this is scenario two, and then it goes to scenario three right here, and he's the president.
That's right, yeah.
Good. Then go ahead, sir.
And can I ask you a question, Dick? First time watching this.
Yes.
Did you think this lady right here was going to assassinate him?
No.
Really? Okay. The way she was clutching her Clint Eastwood garb, I thought she was going to go, sucker, you killed my son.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Why are they both wearing sweaters over?
They're wearing their Ten Commandments cosplay.
Yes, I don't know what they're doing.
It's so ridiculous. I don't know what that is.
It's a Back to the Future 3 where he puts the little sheet pan right here.
Oh, Clint Eastwood. Bulletproof vest. Great flick. Great flick.
Yeah.
I forgot, what was it, an alien invasion at the end?
It seems like aliens. They don't really quite say.
Aliens, right?
She looks like Meryl Hemingway, ironically.
Oh my god.
So he folds immediate president fold. He's like George Bush after fucking 9/11, just went in a treehouse and hid.
Yeah.
If they're friendly, what if they aren't? Let them call the Congress. It's too late.
Aside,
no, not me, not me.
That's George Bush after 9/11.
No,
I don't know.
Ah,
shit.
This actor, what else was he in though? I know this guy. This guy's a character actor. He's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he was in the Andy Griffith Show. He plays the Georgia TV repairman.
That's right.
He's in High Anxiety.
Yeah.
He's in the Wonderful Ice Cream Suit from '98. He's in an episode of Dumb and Dumber, the cartoon series.
That was a cartoon series?
Yeah, it was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he plays Bubba in one episode. He's apparently friends with Mel Brooks because he's also in Life Stinks.
Yes, that's right. He's the guy with the corn on his face, I think.
He's in The Good, the Bad, and the Huckleberry Hound. He's in The Jetsons for 17 episodes.
Oh, he did a lot of voiceover work for
him.
Right?
Yeah, most of these are cartoons, so I'm trying to sift through.
Oh, nice.
He's in Splash.
Nice.
Okay.
Two episodes of Fantasy Island. He's in the Munsters movie. History of the World Part 1. He's definitely best friends with Mel Brooks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore Show. He was friends with Mel Brooks was friends with her. So this is,
he must have worked.
They're all in that same, like, troupe, it seems like.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart. Yep, it's official.
Sid Caesar Show?
The guys all came from the same spots.
In the 50s?
Yeah. Archie's TV Funnies, Love American Style. Yeah, they're all coming from the exact same place. Archie.
Love American Style, that was genius because that show was built around failed pilots.
Yeah.
And they just basically re-aired the pilot for the episode, and that's how they saved money.
Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I love that show, though.
That's a good show.
I watched that a lot. Craft Theater, DuPont. So that he definitely was in with Serling as well.
Oh, yeah.
Twilight Zone, Alcoa Premiere. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, that early on. And then it became, like, Mel Brooks Central, where he was just a comedic actor.
I wonder if he worked with Frankenheimer on and with Craft.
I did not see him there. I would have called it out, clearly. Come on.
You would have.
Yeah, I know. Don't say anything there.
Frankenheimer!
Yes.
I love you.
Did you see my Frankenheimer erection appear from the bottom of the camera? No.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't see it.
All right, so I don't know. I'll give this one a 6. Even though it's season 4, I'm still going to give it a 6.
Yeah, it's a 6. It's fine. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. That's what it is. And there he is. He's cultural appropriation.
Well, the guy did say, I used to wear this. It got a little tedious and warm in the bottle, something like that. Man, I cannot. Whatever. I'll play it from here.
Where others may find it. At your service, sir.
Mr. George P. Hanley, former vocation, jerk.
Kind of a nice twist where it's not really expected because why would he do that, but...
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah, he calls him a jerk right here in a second.
Present vocation, genie.
That's what I missed it.
George P. Hanley.
Sorry, what?
No, I was going to say MST3K callback. I'm a jerk. The pack of the giant leeches. Why are you doing this? Because I'm a jerk. You old Joel Hoskins.
I have a hard time watching the Joel episodes.
They're hard. I do prefer Mike, but I do like the Joel Hoskins episodes. I do have a soft spot.
Do you prefer Mike now as an adult, or did you always like Mike more? I probably always liked Mike more. Okay, good. I was like day one, because I remember the switch when it happened.
Well, Mike was always there because he was the head writer.
Yes, but I remember when Joel left, and I was like, in my brain, I thought it was Mystery Science Theater 2000, and when Mike took over, it was 3000. That's what, in my brain fiction, that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
And in high school, I was writing about it, and like we had to do these daily journals in the morning, and I was writing about that, and I look back, and I'm like, you fucking idiot. None of that happened. But like that's how I taught myself.
Your phony self-making myth.
But in reality, it was just Mike took over and the same thing happened. But
how sad that was. How many years ago were those shows? 30 years
ago? The show ended in 98.
That's how nuts that is.
Yes.
I still watch them today and they're just as funny. 30 years later.
I tattooed it on myself 25 years after the show ended.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking...
But I was always like a bigger fan of Mike than I was of Joel.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I'm a fan of, why am I blanking on his name? Over Trace. Bill over Trace. I like Bill
see,
over
I,
Trace.
I like Trace more. I'm a Trace. I love the original Crow way more. And Dr. Forrester. I just love them more. And TV's Frank. I just love that duo.
It's hard to argue against TV's Frank and Dr. Forrester together. But the heyday, I think when the episodes got better was when it was the Pearl and Bobo.
Yeah,
I think the movies got better.
The movies got better, I think, but the side bits.
That's not even part of the show, really, if you ask me.
Right, yeah.
That is the show, but also not the show.
Yeah. Like,
when I show some of the show for the first time, I fast forward through any of the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, don't let this... Don't. It's supposed to be dumb. Don't.
What's nice about the DVDs is you can just skip to the movie. It takes you right to the movie.
Anyway, that's I Dream of Jeannie. Go watch MST3K. It's you'll fucking
yes.
If you have half a brain,
my purse. My grandma daughter.
Watch out for snakes.
Grandmother. Hello, my grandma daughter. All I can say, I don't know what to say, but
ho ho ho. See, I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Space mutiny.
It's a fucking There's a show with I can't even know, maybe a million jokes overall. Yeah. Would you say? I think a million sounds fair.
Yeah,
because it's
you're talking.
100 some episodes with a joke every 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So a million sounds about right, but, and there's still jokes you could say, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's special. But there's also episodes you'll bring up and I go, oh, I don't remember that at all. Cause there's so many episodes. It's crazy.
Werewolf. That one's great. With Michael Estevez. Or Joe Estevez.
But, stop.
What are
cut.
You doing here, Joe? Get
stop
out here,
cut.
Joseph.
Everyone go up a shirt size. They're at the pool table. I love when Kevin starts doing her voice of the lady. in Werewolf.
Yeah.
How is you here? Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Werewolf's my favorite episode. I used to say Soul Taker, but Werewolf has taken it over.
Soul Taker's funny, too, though.
It's now it's Werewolf and then Devil Doll and then Soul Taker.
Yeah, I like Attack of Leeches. That was a good one. I did like the puppet one, though, that I watched that's long ago.
Devil Doll?
He's like, is it Devil Doll? Yeah, Devil Doll. You embarrassed me in front of my parents. Yes.
Devil Doll. For my money, the first half of the Devil Doll episode is the funniest thing they've ever done. And then the second half, it kind of falls apart.
No, it's fucking good.
That first half is just every single joke. Well, how do you... maybe I want ham. How do you know I don't want ham? We just chase him around the stage.
And, so and, dumb. And the one that... I love the Christmas one, the Martian.
Martians conquer Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Santa Claus conquer the Martians.
Martians, that's a good one. It's a classic just because Crow does the Roadhouse Christmas. I will bash your kneecaps if you bastards touch my car.
Oh, yeah. That's the classic. The Patrick Swayze Christmas.
Patrick Swayze Christmas. Wonderful.
We're going to have a Patrick Swayze Christmas.
And then I love the Mr. Begone ones were good. Like, ah! Yeah. It was scary, scary. Mr. Begone, now! Now! Oh, God.
Well, I mean, look, my fucking pop socket. I'm so glad you talked me into this. Now springs, coily.
There you go. Coily there. Oh, don't sit on that. Oh, God. That was a good one.
Kevin so during that. And there's no mercy as well. Because he just keeps saying no coils, no springs. No springs. Oh, there's no mercy as well. Like, come on, coily.
Oh, shit.
Let's get out of here, right?
Yeah, we were talking about Amazon. For 4 hours.
Exactly. It has a 6.2 on IMDb. Blah, blah, blah. It's okay. It's not for season four, it's fairly good for what it should be. This should be a one episode, but no.
Yeah, it should be a 20-minute episode.
I do like the main character. He makes it more enjoyable.
He's good. Well, he's a good actor. He's been around.
He does the sad sack without being sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he did a good job. And that's the only thing that makes the ending kind of like, oh, that was earned. Because without his sadness, can you imagine someone else playing this like smug or I'm a dick? You're like, I don't.
Mr. Beavis would play this part. You'd be like, eh.
Yeah, the tights.
Like, I don't care
why
about
are you
Mr.
wearing tights.
Hey, you guys wearing? He's wearing the same bow tie.
He,
Mr. Beavis and the genie.
Oh, Mr. Beavis. I thought you said Mr. I thought you were talking about
Mr. Bean.
MST3K,
no,
so.
No.
Never mind. Anyway, until next time, anytime in Phoenix West.
There.
So I said, bye. Bye. What's his name? George Hanley.